And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. This one, I mean, goes from, like, Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains that we once again call, hang on a second, I lost my train of thought. I just got sidetracked. In the middle of my diatribe.
Were you looking at something else while talking?
I did. Yeah. I looked over and I happened to catch some words on the screen and I got lost. That's awful. By the way, I do that without notes. So it's not like I'm reading it out loud.
Yeah, it's muscle. It's in the dome.
Okay. Down to Auburn, across to Fort Benning, North Georgia, Mississippi. All y'all, we love you.
That's what I do. That's
all needs to be said. I know. Bottom line is we love our audience, and that's what I always try to tell everybody. We know exactly where you are, and I have this way of saying it, but dang. Okay. That's what happens when you're a multitasker.
We'll forgive you.
Thank you very much. Hey, I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper right now, Blue Crime. What am I talking about? Well, there's a story that broke yesterday that I'll get to momentarily that got Donald Trump, President Trump, inflamed, and rightfully so, by the way. Even Elon Musk, he and Elon are together on this one. Maybe one day they'll get together for dinner again. But first, before I do that, I'll go to this. Fox News has a piece that came out yesterday. Hold it in again, my calloused former paratrooper hands. It says, U.S. crime rate has dropped and widely in 2024, the FBI says, with some notable caveats. So the FBI does an annual. It's not like they just did this because they're trying to do something in the Trump administration. This was literally something they do every year. It's called the Unified Crime Report. It's released by the Bureau every year. And despite the overwhelmingly positive findings, there were some sobering things, it says. But one thing that it does point out is we are seeing a lot of trends in a good direction. Violent crime decreased by 4.5% nationwide. We got in 2024, the U.S. saw a nearly 15% decline in murder and manslaughter rates, except for Birmingham, which was awful, although Birmingham has apparently gotten better lately. The U.S. saw a 5.2% decrease in rapes, 3% decrease in aggravated assaults. Property crime dropped by roughly 8%, a big decline compared to 2023, which saw a much smaller 2.4% decrease. Burglaries down 8.6%. Motor vehicle theft dropped by a whopping 18%. And then hate crimes, which I didn't know were a separate category, but hate crimes also saw a small decline. But there were some things that were not good. Apparently, there was a major uptick in assaults on law enforcement. Yeah, go figure. But yeah, reported attacks and assaults, including aggravated and simple assault offenses, saw a 10-year high. That's interesting. What that may also mean, though, is the police have been allowed to interdict more in certain places, which results in a diminishing of crime, and yet that puts the police into more dangerous positions. That's a good report. But when you isolate it into certain locales, you still wind up getting really frustrated. And one of the frustrating things that we've got right now is a story that broke yesterday. Some of y'all may remember when Doge was in full swing, right? Elon Musk is in D.C. The Doge had full staff. They were searching through, combing through every department's stuff, weeding through the books. And there were certain Doge members who didn't want their names to be known because they would be doxxed. Well, one of the guys went by a nickname. They called him Big Balls. So just go with me here. But that was his nickname. His real name is Edward Korestein. So Edward Korestein was this young kind of dynamic, and he's not like this big stud linebacker who played football somewhere. He's just a regular looking guy, young. I want to say he was like 19, 20 years old. 19?
19, yeah.
Yeah. But his nickname was Big Balls, which is the way he hid, his identity until I think he was actually outed by liberals. Anyway, yesterday he was beat up on the street, but not because he was an innocent victim. It was because he was stopping an attack on an innocent victim. So yeah, Edward Korestein, the former Doge employee, Trump wrote, was mercilessly beaten by local thugs. He apparently was trying to intervene when a gang was harassing a young woman And Trump is now, and the picture, by the way, if you've seen the picture, if you got the picture, can you put it up?
I mean, I can put it up if you want, but I mean, it's pretty, you're talking about the bloody
picture. It's kind of
graphic.
Yeah, he's bloody and all, but you know what? It's real. If you want to put it up, you're welcome to it. I'm fine with that. But Trump took major issue with this, and well, he should, because here you got a young guy who felt the need to have to intervene because a gang of thugs was harassing a young woman. He jumps in. They beat him down on the street. Well, you had like 14 of them, I think. I mean, it was an awful situation. But the kid, Edward Korestein, who worked in Doge, Trump says, this incredible young man and so many others would not have to go through the horrors of this violent crime. If this continues, he said, I'm going to exert my powers and federalize this city and make America great again. Keep in mind, Washington, D.C. is the District of Columbia. It is a separate locale. It does have a mayor. It does have governance. But he's saying right now, if you don't get your crime under control, I'm going to federalize it. Keep in mind, we also had another young member of a congressional staff who was killed on the street near the Capitol. We had another that was stabbed, I believe. We've had assaults on police officers. This is the nation's capital. And Elon Musk weighed in. He said a few days ago, a gang of about a dozen young men tried to assault a woman in her car at night, and a Doge team member saw what was happening. He ran to defend her and was severely beaten to the point of concussion, but he did save her. And then Musk himself says it's time to federalize D.C. Blue crime, blue cities. When you have soft-on-crime policies, when you have weak politics, when you have people in charge who could care less about the well-being of citizens, they seem to care more about the criminals than they do about the victims. You look at it and go, okay, is there any wonder why the crime rates in certain locations don't trend in the right direction? One of the things that's also galvanized the nation in recent weeks, actually the recent week, is the situation that took place in Cincinnati. You had a large group of thugs, men and women, who attacked two other people on the street. It does appear to have been racial. So since it appears to have been a race-based incident, I'll go ahead and tell you the gang of folks were black and the ones who were attacked were white. They first started beating down a white guy in the street, knocked him down. He tried to get back up. They knocked him down more. They're kicking. They're hollering at him. Somebody's filming it because they always do. And then a woman tries to intervene and they literally, I've seen the video. It's horrible. One guy steps up and punches her in the face, knocks her out cold. If you haven't seen the picture of her with her injuries, it is sobering. The entire side of her face is swollen. She has swelling on the brain, had a concussion. You looking up her image right now too? But that occurred in Cincinnati. One of the things that is the most egregious, I think like 8 people have been arrested so far. So that's good. They're tracking them down. One of them got out of Cincinnati. They arrested him and he's now in detention in Atlanta. So he went to another locale where leftist politics make it easy to hide. But they got him. But then you look at, what are the reasons why these blue cities are the way they are? Maybe it's the leader. Oh, there's the picture. Thank you for putting that up. And that's. I mean, listen, bless her heart. That's awful. I mean, she was severely beaten. And she got a recovery time still to go on this. But in Cincinnati, after that beat down on the street, after this viral beatdown, News Nation has the story. I pulled it off of theirs. News Nation has a story about the Cincinnati councilwoman, who I think is actually the president of the council. Her name is Mika Owens. And Mika decides to get on her social media and say, they begged for that beatdown. What an asinine thing to say. What an absolutely inexcusable thing for any leader to say.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
And she enjoyed watching it.
She said that too?
Are you referring to the comments she made on Facebook?
Yes.
Yes, yeah. I think before that she said something about how she enjoyed watching it. I can pull up the exact
good
comment.
Gosh.
But yeah.
Saying they beg for the beat. Well, at the very least, I will say this. There is talk right now about whether she's going to be called upon to resign. I guarantee you she won't. In fact, she's shown no remorse, if I understand. But Mika Owens is part of the problem. Mika Owens is one of the reasons why you've got gangs beating people up in the streets of your city. when you got that little respect for the rule of law and you know, law and order, then is there any wonder why Cincinnati has this problem that made national news? Do you find it?
Yeah, so Victoria Parks was the councilwoman who commented and said they begged.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, said they begged for that beatdown. I'm grateful for the whole story. That's what she said.
That's what she said. I'm sorry, Mika Owens is calling on Victoria Parks to resign. Let me get my facts straight. I apologize. All right, so Cincinnati Councilmember Mika Owens believes that the resignation of Victoria Parks is called for. So I'm sorry, Mika. I did not mean to disgrace your name. There you have it. But let's talk about some things in other places. Blue crime. Y'all, blue crime is real. When blue cities have the policies they have, then you have things like what happened yesterday. Daily Wire has the piece. An arsonist attacked an Immigration and Customs Enforcement office in Washington State over the weekend, throwing a rock through a window and then lighting a fire on the property. The unidentified arsonist targeted the ICE field office in Yakima, Washington, about 140 miles away from Seattle. Federal agents and the DHS employees managed to escape without injury. DHS Secretary Trisha McLaughlin slammed the Democrat politicians for all of their incendiary rhetoric against ICE agents, accusing them of contributing to the surge in violence against federal law enforcement. I mean, that's what you see. You got Hakeem Jeffries. You got Mayor Wu of Boston. You got, of course, Tampon Timmy Walz, governor of Minnesota. You got Mayor Bass of Los Angeles. All of them coming out constantly comparing our ICE agents to like Nazi Gestapo and glorifying the rioters, and the violent rhetoric of, you know, sanctuary politicians is exactly what creates situations like someone feeling so emboldened, so inflamed, no pun intended, that they go and throw a rock through the window and try to set a building on fire while there's employees still inside it. And that's a blue city area right there. It's inexcusable, and it's got to stop. But I'll tell you right now, it's literally everywhere. Blue cities are seeing the literal consequences of their policies. Boston, oh, Boston's awful. Boston, Mayor Wu, good Lord. That woman, I'm telling you right now.
It sucks because Boston's such a great city.
Boston's an awesome city.
Like literally one of the core cities from the beginning of our country. And it's turning into what it is.
I mean, Boston's been there. I mean, Boston's the OG city right there. Yep. It really is. Boston City Council meeting in October 2024, Beacon Hill residents said they had not seen this much illegal drug use in Beacon Hill. I mean, so Beacon Hill is an upscale but yet historic section of Boston. It's where the homes are 200 plus years old. And it's one of those, like, they're like row houses, like a lot of you see, like in Washington, D.C. and others. But we're talking about one mother talking about how she has to walk her children to school and there's needles in the street. And we're talking about in a place where the average home is like $2.3 million. And yet it's gotten so bad in Boston. I mean, they've got, you know, they're doing needle exchanges. They're giving out free crack pipes. They're trying to do things to, you know, help people smoke crack and methamphetamine in a more harm reduction manner. And what do they do? What they really do is they create more of the issue. And these soft on crime, social justice, we're going to take care of the victims or the criminals policy leaves the victims in the wake. And right now, you've got even some of the higher class neighborhoods in Boston are saying, we got addicts shooting up in the street in front of our house, and they don't know what else to do about it because the liberal blue policies refuse to change. I tell you what, I'll take a break right now. I've got several more here, but my gosh. Blue crime, it's real. Blue crime, well, it's crime in the blue areas. That's what it is. But it's also a crime that blue crime has to happen. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. Hey, let me go down the last couple of resources here on the number two dipper here, blue crime. So, I mean, California, my gosh, they're like the model. They're the poster child of all things blue crime. You can look at some of the things they did out there and you think, well, do you have any wonder why all the major businesses and the store owners are shutting down in San Francisco and leaving town? Like San Francisco, right now, they're saying that San Francisco, no kidding, is what they call a doom loop a doom loop. It's like the perpetual motion machine going in the opposite direction. It's like the cascading effect of one thing closes, which reduces revenue and traffic. So the next thing closes, which reduces more revenue and traffic in the inside. And pretty soon, nobody wants to be downtown. And then the businesses who have no place for their people to have lunch because the restaurants all closed down, move their employees out and put them somewhere else outside the city limits. And next thing you know, downtown San Francisco is in what they call the doom loop. It's not good. It's all about the policies they put in place. Do you know out in California, in San Francisco especially, they passed a law that literally says that if you steal from a store, but you steal less than $1,000, it's not actionable. So they,
I would say, I saw a video this week of like 15 teenagers running into a gas station, just taking all of the food, and the guy at the counter called the cops and they couldn't do anything. Says if it's not a violent crime, sorry.
Yeah, not a violent crime and less than $1,000.
Yeah.
I mean, it's when you, and then you wonder why the stores are shutting down, because $1,000 here, $1,000 there. How about this? They have people. I read an article on this. They know what they're doing, and they have people that sit across the street, and they'll pay the junkie to go over there and take less than $1,000 worth of stuff, bring it back across the street. I'll pay you $50 for it. You can go buy your next fix, and meanwhile, I'll put all this on the black market and I'll sell it for a profit. And that's what they're doing.
And then it's such a strict gun law state. There's no good. Yeah. Well, I don't even know if it's the gun. I mean, I know California has good people, but it's like the people in LA would just rather watch it happen or film it.
But they got any number of ordinances and city, you know, run. They got Prop 47. Prop 47 in California fueled crime. It was called Smart Justice. Smart Justice. Reducing prison overcrowding by downgrading nonviolent felonies like shoplifting and drug possession and theft under $950. There it is. Prop 47. What it did was it gave criminals what they call a playbook. They kept it under $950 and they walked free. And that's why you've got things falling apart in those blue cities. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's also right here at home. I wrote a piece that came out this week on 1819 News, and it's already making out into other news sites. And I call it, you know, common sense. It's like the era of common sense, the common sense revolution. And I talked about Birmingham. And Birmingham wonders why its crime rate has been what it's been. But Birmingham has a mayor that is doing things like mass pardons dating back to 1992. Anyone ever been convicted of a drug charge in the city? Hey, mass pardon. What does that do? That sends a signal. It creates a chilling effect for law enforcement. Why would I bother arresting somebody? I'll just get turned out in the street. Why should I? And so it creates this incredible soft-on-crime sense that the criminals have the upper hand. He not only did that, he was also talking about social justice programs and, you know, and looking at how best to, you know, reimagine public safety by sending, this is Mayor Randall Woodfin of Birmingham, by the way, to send out counselors on 911 calls. And when I wrote the article, by the way, I had one of his sycophants take issue with me on social media. But I linked to all the stories quoting him. I didn't just make it up out of thin air.
Yeah, you were endorsing Wanda Lincoln with that article.
Oh, yeah, that's, sure I was. Yeah, that's what I'll do. I'll That woman's crazy. But yeah, Mayor Randall Woodfin, when the state of when the state legislature finally said Birmingham's gotten so bad that, look, sort of like Trump said about Washington, D.C., they said, look, we're coming in there and we're fixing your police. We're going to replace your police leadership. Of course, what did he do? Woodfin opposed it. All said and done, blue crime, it's real. It's blue policies. That's what does it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming up next, we got the Grand Council with Dale Jackson and Jeff Poor and just little old me. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.